In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound, this amazing stranger from the planet Krypton, the Man of Steel, Superman! Possessing remarkable physical strength, Superman fights a never-ending battle for truth and justice, disguised as a mild-mannered newspaper reporter, Clark Kent.
Hello, welcome to another installment of the Apocalypse Video CryptoCast, Episode 6, The Magnetic Telescope. I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined again by the Lord of the Wasteland, Immortan Hoof.
Wow, 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 wow.
This one's a weird entry in the Fleischer Superman cartoons because there isn't really a villain, per se, in this episode. It's basically like a scientist who wants to study a comet, so he uses his big magnetic telescope to, stupidly, I need to study that comet, so I need to literally suck it to Earth so I can touch it and diddle with it, evidently, and then I'll just fling it back when I'm done.
I don't think he needed to touch it. I think he just wanted it closer.
So he didn't mean to just, like, pull it close to touch. That's what it seemed like.
Well, see, his first run messed up. And he brought the first flaming comet to Earth.
Yeah.
And then the police are like, okay, you're done. You don't know how to handle this technology. And then the scientist is like, I will need one more try. And then, you know.
And he does it against their wishes, right?
Exactly.
Even though they say, in a weird, muffled way, what I thought they said is, we'll sock you. But I swear to God, the cop says that to the scientist. We'll sock you. And I was like, I think he said stop, but it sounded like sock.
Maybe sock you is like.
Slang, 40s slang.
Yeah, we'll lock you up.
Well, it's interesting because, like, even though technically this isn't a bad guy, he has some, like, traditional bad guy tropes about him. Like, he's bald, for instance, and bald guys in cartoons automatically equals evil guy.
Well, I think this guy is basically the kind of transformation into a supervillain that we don't usually see.
But he doesn't become evil. Literally, like, the shit, like, malfunctions on the second time. And he's like, oh, fuck! And then he runs away. And, like the building crashes. And there's, like, shit flying everywhere. When pieces of the comet at first start to rain down, right?
Yeah.
And then he just runs away. And so he's not really a villain. He's just an idiot who fucked up.
He's ready to be a villain. He has the trapdoor-type lock thing that puts him in his lair. That seals him off from everybody, so the police can't
So he can do that. He has villain tropes, but...
He's ready to be a villain. He's on the very edge.
He's like the Doc Ock of this universe.
Exactly, and then the police drive him to villainy, basically, when they don't let him play with his science toys. And then when the wall comes up and he goes villain, he's like, I'm going to do this anyways. I want to see this comet. And then the police are like... Let's fucking shit off.
Yeah, they go nuts. They're like,
they're so stupid. They're like, let's just break everything.
It's like excessive force. They just start shooting, and it's just like, whoa.
But then they go into his like engine lair, like where his engine is, and they just start breaking everything.
Yeah, like excessive force much? Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Yeah. And one thing I thought was funny about this episode, like pretty big destruction. Like, when the pieces come down, shit gets fucked up.
When the radiation, I think of it as, like, just radiation balls, and then they come down, they flash, and then it flashes to a new image of whatever it was before, just desolate and destroyed.
Yeah. And another interesting thing about this episode, it's not Superman just flying towards it and like pushing it back. He tries a couple times the same tactic, mind you. He just flies towards it, presumably to just push it back, but it just like pushes him back, like, fuck off. Make the comment. He falls down, tries it the exact same thing again, and the exact same thing happens again. He just like gets knocked on his ass.
Yeah, he actually fails a couple times.
Yeah, and so he just ends up using the magnet, or rather, Lois helps, and he helps like get it back going again, right?
Yeah.
Like, operational?
Mm-hmm. And then when she hits the fan, Lois is probably the dumbest she's ever been in this entire series, in this episode. The entire base is falling apart, and instead of running to safety to live to tell the story, she decides to get on the telephone while the building is falling apart and phone the station and then say, oh, so-and-so is blowing up the building or whatever. So she decides to die for the story instead of live for the story.
Or just let someone else know about the story, and they'll write it, and they'll get the credit, basically.
Yeah. So I have a feeling she has a secret desire to maybe just die.
To just die, like, die and have the ultimate story.
Yeah.
But that begs the question, like, okay, a comet coming down from a magnetic telescope, how does that rank in terms of stories against mechanical monsters, you know, bulleteers, a giant death ray? It seems on par with the rest of that stuff. I wouldn't say that the giant comet is bigger than any of that stuff necessarily.
It's literally bigger.
Well, I guess, but I guess maybe the implication, you don't get this sense. I don't think the episode conveys this, but maybe the implication is, like, if a comet does come, it'll destroy, like, literally everything, or, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's the implication.
Maybe.
But I don't know. And maybe that's why the story is so big in her mind, but I don't know. Well, then all she's doing is just telling him, hey, you're all about to die soon. It's like, there will be no story because there'll be no one left alive.
Duck and cover, guys.
Exactly. It's just like, well, what's going to happen? I don't know. But the weirdest thing about this episode, at the very end, like, when we think we're going to be treated to the exact same formulaic ending, you know, like, oh, if it's lucky Superman was there, and then Clark winks, like, duh. And this one, they get it on. Yeah. Or get close to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the lights turn down, you see, it's like silhouettes, right? And
yeah.
You see him walking, and you think it's Superman, like, come on, baby. Like, it gets really, like, sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the light turns on, and it's Clark.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what was the point of that? Like, what... Like, I understand, like, we talked in the previous installments of CryptoCast, that they have no problem with guns, no problem with death, but sex, that was off limits,
yes.
Like, back in the day. Like, you didn't even see people, like, in a bra or anything like that. So, this was pretty steamy stuff for a kid's short.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, it would have been probably pretty steamy by, like, a live-action movie in the 40s.
Maybe.
Standards, I think. Fairly steamy. Certainly not for a kids movie this era.
There was one image in this episode that I think is kind of iconic because I think we've seen it a couple times, most recently in the Thor movie. And when Superman grabs the wires, because so two wires have been cut and they need to get the electricity to each other.
Oh, he's like pulling.
He grabs the wires and then he basically kind of, I forget if he either touches the wires or he lets the electricity
like
run
himself.
Through himself.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, exactly. He uses himself as like a conductor to fill in for the gap in the wires, so there's electricity going through him. And it reminded me of, I think this kind of image is a kind of familiar with superhero type things, but obviously the most recent example I can think of is the last Thor movie.
You mean Avengers?
Or Ragnarok. No, Ragnarok when he... it is Avengers.
Yeah,
when he has to start the star.
Yeah.
When the star is burning. Oh, yeah, you're right. It is Avengers. So Thor, like, takes the heat of a star. And so, but I think that image, that type of image is really cool. It makes the hero look really powerful.
It's interesting how many times that comes up in comic book stories. Like, the hero has to act as a conductor for electricity or something. It happens in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
When he fights Electro, he has to, like, use himself as a conductor. It's just like, this is such a weird thing to happen so often.
It's really self-sacrificial.
Well, it is, but it's like, that's a really specific thing that a hero has to do. And for it to pop up so much in comics and whatnot, it's interesting.
Well, and that's why I think this particular instance is important, because I don't know if it's the first one in animation or live action, but it's certainly one of the first ones, so that's why I think it's pretty important.
Yeah. Well, that's about all I had for this episode. I mean, again, like, we're in that stretch now where I think the best ones, I would say, are probably behind us, and we're kind of just into the middling to just downright awful ones going forward, I'd say.
Yeah, I don't think that this one is really worth watching for anyone who's not too interested.
Yeah.
I mean, if you like them, then this certainly has some imagery that's cool. Like the destruction imagery is very good, and then the Superman imagery is cool. But yeah, besides that, it doesn't have a whole lot going on.
But there's nothing that's outright bad about it, no. I would say. Other than the fact that there's not really a villain per se.
I think Lois is still dumb.
Lois is dumb.
Yeah, in this episode.
So her stupidity is like equal to villainy, basically.
Maybe.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the sixth installment here. We'll be back next time with the Apocalypse Radio CryptoCast, looking at the Max Fleischer Superman cartoons with Electric Earthquake. I'd like to thank you, Martin Hoof, for joining me on this 17-part series. I know you got a lot going on in the wasteland, being a ruler and all.
Happy to join you for cartoons.
It's very big of you. It's very big of you to join us for this series. But we'll be back next time with Electric Earthquake.